We begin a brand new summer series, a little lighter fare this summer, just soup and half a sandwich kind of stuff. We're going to be writing an ebook on web content. Everybody has a website. What do you put on it? How do you put it there? That's the kind of thing we're going to talk about all summer. You're not going to want to miss that. We still have picks. We still have feedback. So stay tuned. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with the Wells Tech Podcast, and that typing sound you hear in the background is my podcasting co-host, Sally Draper, and we are episode 292, Sally, for June 11th, 2013. That's a Tuesday, and we're back together once again.
Yep. Welcome to summertime. This is our official kickoff to our summertime series. Martin, I've been looking forward to digging into something different this summer.
A little lighter fare. We try and do that each summer where hopefully we don't have to spend as much time. And we know that you may not have as much time to listen or watch us. I don't know if it's going to turn out that way, Sally, based at least on the amount of prep that I had to do for this first session. But then again, it was all your idea.
Yeah, it's sink or swim Sally time, apparently.
That's right. Put up or shut up.
And I had this great idea because this is one of the most common things that I talk to people about on a regular basis, and that is what to put on our church and school websites. Mm-hmm. Martin, we've spent a lot of time on the Wells Tech Podcast talking about how to build church and school websites and the mechanics and the embed code and all kinds of geeky things that are related to the technology of church and school websites. But ultimately, the content is the king. And that means that if you don't have good stuff for people to see when they land on your website, doesn't matter how many bells and whistles are there, they aren't going to stick around unless there's fresh content and it's engaging. And so we want to spend this summer digging into what kind of content to put on your church and school website. And, you know, maybe putting on the hat of, I'm a brand new webmaster, or I just inherited this church site and it really needs to be revamped and I have no clue where to start. So we want to help you by giving you some ideas of the content that you could use to build your website. Now, your mileage may vary. You know, we're not giving you a blueprint that
is
going to be...
There is no cookie cutter formula for exactly. Everybody, of course.
But definitely some good ideas of things to include. And through the course of this, we're going to have some additional components. So this is your bonus Wells Tech goodness that you're going to get this summer. We're going to write an ebook, a really small undertaking for a busy summer, and we're going to have some sample websites that you can look at and see this content in play, so you can get an idea of how it's going to look. You can copy it directly from the screen if you want to use the words that we write. It's just there for you to guide you as you build your church and school websites.
And there's a couple moving parts here, right, Sally? So we have the ebook that we're putting together, which will have however many chapters we have by the end of the summer. So we're trying to categorize things into logical groupings that will make sense and progress down through it. And you know, we're going to start with the homepage today. But we also thought that, you know, just an ebook is not going to be as useful as maybe some other auxiliary material. And of course, we've got the whole outline and setup on our show notes page. So as always, go to wellstech.wells.net and you can find, you know, kind of what the plan is and the strategy as we move forward. But probably the most useful piece of all this, and you can get all the links on the show notes page, but on that show notes page, we're going to have links to actual working websites that Sally is dutifully actually taking whatever we've got in the ebook, all the good guiding principles and practices, and trying to implement them in a way that you can kind of see what we're thinking. So hopefully that will resonate with you in one way or another. And not that it's the definitive, you know, this is the best site that you could possibly go to that abides by all the principles that we're talking about, but at least it gives you an idea of what we're talking about.
Right. And this is going to be an ever-changing landscape. So come and visit and also contribute. We'd love to hear your ideas. Maybe we're missing something that you found to be a real key component on your church or school website. And we'd love to include that in our ebook and on our sample websites. So definitely check out the show notes. We've got a resource page dedicated to this summer series where you can download the ebook in different formats. Again, keeping in mind that it's a work in progress. It's not a completed ebook. It's something we're writing together.
It's more a pamphlet right now.
Yeah. And it's even embedded there on the page in PDF format, which you can download from Scrib, or you can view it right there on the page. And then, you know, links are there for our sample sites. And again, they'll be developing over time. We have kind of an outline of the different topics we're hoping to cover this summer and the dates, and we'll link those to the actual podcast, so you can use this as kind of a one-stop reference for the whole series as it develops.
Very good.
You notice that we're developing? It's developing.
Said
summer.
That a lot. Yes. So it should be noted that this is a book or an effort that is hopefully useful for you, whether you are a pastor, teacher, staff minister, layperson, anybody involved with creating a website for an audience, probably within a ministry setting. So we have specifics for church and school and classrooms, but I think a lot of the principles apply to whatever application. But those would be the primary three areas that we're going to work on. And Sally, even just writing this first chapter, I noticed that there are some differences clearly between, a church website and a school website. You've got a little bit different audiences. So all the things, you have to kind of figure out where it fits best in your particular circumstance.
Definitely. And you used a key word there, Martin. Audience is what's going to drive your website development. So you're going to need, as a webmaster, to put on the hat of your website visitor. Are they first-time visitors to your church or school? Are they searching for a church home? Are they members of your church and looking for updates on upcoming events? Do they want to register for an activity that's going on at your church? Whatever they're looking for on your site, as you step into their shoes, think about how to make it easy for them to find that and what kind of content they're looking for so you can deliver what they are needing. So always throughout all of this, you're going to hear us talk about audience a lot.
Yep. And to be sure, this is going to take a lot of work. This is not a silver bullet or a magic pill. This is a matter of, rolling up your sleeves and saying, this has to be done. We've kind of likened it to, maintaining your lawn. The grass is growing, and if it gets out of control, obviously, then that leaves a bad impression. On a church website or a school website, when you leave things go, the weeds grow, or actually nothing happens, and people just say, well, this is not well maintained, and they won't come back. So that's a big part of what we're talking about here. So don't go into this, with a Pollyanna, attitude that, well, if we just do these things, then we're all set. You have to keep doing these things. So Sally, what goes on a good homepage?
Well, here we are at the beginning of our website, the homepage, the landing page, your one shot, basically, to engage your site visitors and get them digging into your site further. And I think, first of all, you're going to want to have a good design, a welcoming design, a welcome message, probably right up front, that communicates clearly who you are and what your goals are. And then you're going to want to make God's word very prominent on your website. I think that's a great place to start. Yep. Since that's what drives everything we do.
So those are the first two, and we're going to outline just eight real quick ones here that we think are just kind of core or essential components in every homepage. So the welcome message, God's word, of course. The next one is probably a no-brainer, but it's good to talk through it. Kind of an about us section, who we are, what we stand for, a little bit more about how to get in touch with us, directions. Our affiliations. So, if we're a member of an organization, what's our association with Wells, for instance? If you're a Wells Church, those kinds of things. So people get a sense for who you are. That should be obviously something that they can read right on the homepage or have one-click access to.
Definitely. One of my favorite things to find easy access to is a visitor's guide.
Oh yeah.
And I think you want to, again, look at the website from the visitor's point of view. They need to know what to expect when they arrive at your church, and, you know, what your worship services are like, or whatever it is that their questions may be. And we're going to dedicate a whole show to just focusing on that particular topic. But I guess the point at this juncture is that you should have easy access to that on your homepage. You don't need to put all this content on your homepage, but at least prevalent links to it.
It needs to be prominent. It needs to be very evident to the person who lands on your site for the first time that, hey, this is a button that I should be clicking on.
Right. Here's one of our sample sites that I'm sharing my screen now, and you can see Visitor's Guide is one of the main tabs, actually the second main tab that's available at the top of the page. And I did something similar on the second sample site that I did. So it's real obvious to them, you know, and maybe you title it What to Expect or whatever. Visitor's Guide isn't, you know, a set in stone title, but that they can go there and learn more about yep. what your church is all about.
Yeah, same with the school. So mm-hmm. maybe you have a button that says The New Kid or, you know, whatever, something that a parent and a child could sit down together and say, hey, this is what, you know, your new school might be looking like. So
definitely. Another prominent link to include is a link to your calendar. You might have a little mm-hmm. summary of some of the upcoming events right on your homepage, and then a link to the full calendar. People want to know what's going on. They want to find dates and times for things very quickly and easily. So definitely a homepage component is some kind of linkage to your calendar.
Yeah, statistics will show, or weblog statistics will show, at least for people familiar with your church or school, that is the most visited area of your website is the calendar. So it needs to be accurate, needs to be up to date, needs to be easy to find and operate.
Definitely.
Should we move on to number six, social connections?
Yeah, this is a social world, isn't it?
Everybody, you know, I think it's almost an assumption today that organizations are, you know, somehow involved with a social network, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, you know, whatever it is. So if you have that, make sure that's easy to find, either with a link so that people know that they can find, you know, other stuff, you know, related to your social goings-ons, or embed some of that content right on the page that may be relevant or interesting to the visitor to get the softer side maybe of the organization versus the cardboardy brochureware stuff. You know, there's dynamic content here. There's stuff going on. There's people having conversation. So that needs to be on your own page someplace.
I really like that idea of embedding it, maybe a Twitter feed in a sidebar somewhere. So if you're regularly tweeting maybe a Bible passage a day or whatever it may be, that is automatically just fed to your homepage, and you don't have to go and update in multiple places, but you just get that content coming through. We're going to talk more about RSS feeds later in the series.
Mm-hmm. Number seven is my favorite, Sally, and that's media, audio, video. Really important these days. It is unusual to go to a modern website these days without some kind of audio visual component. And that takes some work. It's not just the easy part actually is getting it on the page with, you know, easy, you know, insertion of embed codes, YouTube and Vimeo and those kind make it real easy to just plug in some code, which we're going to talk about in a later chapter in the book. But the hard part is actually capturing that quality video or audio, whether it be a sermon, Bible class, whatever, and then do it consistently and make it a pleasing experience when they're actually going to view it online.
And then finally, wrapping up the great eight things for your homepage are imagery. And this goes along with audio and video, really kind of hand in hand, that you want your website to have excellent imagery, to be engaging through the images you provide. And we're not talking about a picture of the outside of your church necessarily. We're talking about people and activities and
ministry stuff. Yep.
Right, the day-to-day life of your church, so that people can get a feel of the vibe that's going on in your congregation or school.
Sure. So, Sally, that's chapter one, the homepage. So I think we're off to a nice start, and that's probably where we should start. So remember, it's all about your website content. And if you want to kind of get a sneak peek at what's coming up, please visit the show notes page, and you can find that out. Please keep up with the sites that Sally is building for us. Just awesome work there. And if you have, like Sally mentioned, if you have ideas or if you disagree, absolutely, you know, share that. If your eight are different than our eight, I'd love to hear about that and have conversations around those things, because I guess I'd be the first to admit, Sally, I'm no expert. Yeah, I maintain websites, but I think, again, everybody's situation is different and experiences are different, and maybe they've got things that work better than what we've talked about. So,
right, you can always improve upon your website too. It's dynamic and easy to change and easy to add to. So we want to include your feedback as well. So please do contact us. There's links on our show notes page to all different ways you can join our conversation.
Yep, very good. Sally, in our abbreviated format, kind of our light soup and half a sandwich podcast this summer, we are only going to do picks. We can't stop. Can't stop ourselves from that, and then community feedback, and then we'll call it a day. So let's move on to our picks of the week.
Yeah, I'm excited to share a link to the Daily Bible Clip blog, and it's something you can sign up for and get email from Monday through Friday. And basically what this pastor has done, and I'm sorry to say I don't have the name behind who's doing the site at my disposal real quickly, but what they're doing is they're using memory verses and emailing those out with some explanation. They email a new verse twice a week. And so you get the same verse for the first half of the week, and they're encouraging you to memorize it, and then you get a new verse the second half of the week. And it is Pastor Michael Ewert who's doing this, so a Wells pastor who's put together this daily Bible clip. And so here's what today's Bible clip looks like. Let me scroll up the page a little bit. The theme is the Roman road, the plan of salvation, and they give you a verse to memorize. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And they even have a nice word cloud with it. Yeah. And then they give you some thoughts on the verse and additional reading if you have time, and a prayer to go along with it. And again, this same verse is emailed at least for the first half of the week, and then a new verse for the second half of the week. And the idea is that you're going to learn 100 verses in 1 year and commit those to memory. And I think it's just an excellent way to package God's word in a way that's easy for us to dig into, to learn more if we want to go deeper, and to memorize it, write those verses on our hearts. So you can subscribe at dailybibleclip.blogspot.com. You can get it via RSS or via email. And I encourage you to check out this resource.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. All right. Now, Sally, I've got to find where my page is here so I can share it with the folks. And there it is. Bear with me. I'm just learning this technology stuff. Mm-hmm. There we go. My pick is a website. Actually, it's a publisher. Last week, I was in San Francisco at a technology conference hosted by the O'Reilly Group. But O'Reilly is basically a publisher of technology books. They're the books pretty easy to find in a bookstore. If you're looking in the computer section, they're the ones with all the animals on the fronts of the covers. And while a lot of the texts here are not, you know, real, I mean, a lot of these are very deep and for programmers for the most part, but they have a nice set of books that would be very suitable for somebody to try and, you know, ramp up their skills in kind of the core elements of creating a web page, which is what we're after here. So it would be real helpful in whatever content management system you use to maybe pick up and get a little bit smarter on some basic core technologies. HTML would be one, and CSS would be another. So they've got some great books here on that. That one thing I like about O'Reilly is that almost all of their books now are in three different varieties. You can get them in an ebook format, you can get them in a print format, or you can get them in a print and ebook format. And the ebook format comes in all the flavors that we're going to be publishing our books in. It comes in Mobi, it comes in EPUB, and it comes in PDF. So whatever flavor, I'm very fond of the PDF version because that's very portable. The Mobi is just on the Kindle. Mm-hmm. EPUB is, you know, kind of spotty support, you know, depending on your tablet, if you want to read these on a tablet. But PDF, you can plug into a Kindle, you can plug into almost any reader. You can you print out a chapter if you wanted, you can view it on a computer screen. So I like that. I like those options. So there's books on iPad, on iPhone. If you're one of the sample sites, Sally, that you're using is WordPress. So if you want to know a little bit more about how WordPress works, they've got some great WordPress books. If you want to know a little bit more about Windows or the Office suite, another book that we've referenced in the past that's also available here on O'Reilly is Slideology from Nancy Duarte. Goes along with Presentation Zen, so you can get that in ebook or print or both. Decent prices, and they run specials, so if you bookmark the site and come back fairly regularly, you're likely to get a special on a lot of the things that they have. And just a good publisher. It's down-to-earth writing. They have good examples in the text themselves, and I think they're one of the top publishers when it comes to technology training texts. So if you're not familiar with O'Reilly, go to O'Reilly.com and check out all the stuff that they have there. They've got videos as well, and they have something called Safari Books Online, which I think has been a pick of mine in the past, where you can get almost any technology text in e-format. That is my first pick of the summer.
Okay.
Shall we move on to feedback?
Moving right along. Yes, sir. Starting with a comment that we had on a recent podcast, one of my picks was a list of family-friendly podcasts. And these were ones that I could take on vacation with me and listen to with my husband and children. And I had several favorites. And we heard from Jimmy Pouts, who shared another favorite of his. He says, I have another podcast recommendation for your summer. It's actually an NPR radio show that also has some shorter podcasts, but all of their episodes are available online in podcast form. It's called Radiolab, and you can get to it at radiolab.org. And I will quick share my screen so you can see the website, radiolab.org. And I just was reading down the list of podcasts, and here's one that sounds really interesting. This week, Mystery, Intrigue, and a Goat Standing on Top of a Cow. Find out where you can listen to detective stories on air near you. And it's on air, obviously, through National Public Radio, but then you can also download podcast of all of this content. Jimmy goes on to say they explore interesting phenomena from everyday life and for not so everyday life. They feature scientists and stories from people with personal experience. The show is very well produced. It's actually an experience with sound that is really cool. I would only caution one thing. They don't have a Christian perspective of science and creation. So occasionally, it's actually pretty rare, they will say some things that go against creation. So if you're listening with your kids, it would be good to have a discussion about it before and or after listening. But sounds like a great find, and thank you for sharing that.
Great.
Via Digo, we learned about several interesting websites. First of all, from Tom Rosenau, who serves as principal out at St. John in Pigeon, Michigan, and who took one of my web design classes through MLC once, where we talked about a website from Adobe called Color, a cool web spelling, KULER.adobe.com will get you to the web version. And now they've released an iPhone app for Color. This is one of my favorite apps, or web apps, and I assume the iPhone app will be just as good for coming up with color palettes. You can actually upload images, and it'll, so maybe your logo image or something like that, and it'll create a color palette to go along with it, and then you can play with different variations of that color palette, and it gives you all the color codes and HTML ready format and that kind of thing. And now to have an iPhone app as well is just really exciting. So Tom says it's a very handy tool. So I'm looking forward to downloading the app. I haven't done that yet, Tom, but I definitely will.
Nice.
Also via Digo, I tagged an article I came across in a Christian media magazine recently, and it's called The Christian Leader in the Digital Age. And this article was actually written by the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I'm not sure if it gets into too deep of theology, but it's more about being a part of the digital conversation. And he, one quote I thought was really interesting. He said, "Leaders who talk about the real world as opposed to the digital world are making a mistake, a category error. While we're right to prioritize real face-to-face conversations and to find comfort and grounding in stable authorities like the printed book, the digital world itself is a real world, just real in a different way." And he goes on to talk about, you know, content and conversation that you can have online that does affect God's kingdom. And I just thought it was a really well-written article and worth considering or, you know, reviewing.
Nice. Very good.
And then finally from Digo, this is a link that Jason Schmidt shared, and it's from the URL is for the University of Colorado. That's what I was looking for. It's phet.colorado.edu. And these are science simulations, and there's just a whole slew of them on here. For instance, this forces and motions basic, you can see you can download the simulation or you can run it online and kind of watch a tug of war kind of simulation, control how many people are on each side of the tug of war and what kind of results you get with the different forces acting on this. That's just one example. Here in the sidebar menu, you can see that the simulations are arranged by different types of science: physics, biology, chemistry, earth science, and math simulations. And then they're also organized by grade level, and they have elementary, middle school, high school, and university level simulations. And so just a real treasure chest. If you're a science teacher, I think you'll want to visit this site and bookmark it for use in your classroom.
Nice. Thanks, Jason.
One more from Jason. This is just a fun, silly site where you can make a monster by changing his eyes and nose and mouth. I know some kids that would really enjoy playing with the make a monster, and you can take a screen capture of it or download a copy of the monster you make. Maybe they want to create an avatar for their blogging or something.
Yeah, I know some adults that might do that too, Sally.
Fun tool. Yes, so absolutely. That's what I have for Digo links. Martin, you had some correspondence as well.
Yeah, Travis Graw from Southern Maryland, who's in the Navy, was looking for consent forms. They want to use some photographs on their website, and was wondering if we had any resources for that, and we do. On our Wells Tech Wiki site, wellstechwiki.wells.net, we have a couple that are examples there. We're always looking for more. So if you have a consent form that you maybe ask members to sign, or even if you have one that your school uses, I think the more the merrier there as well, because there's all kinds of variations and different spins people put on those. That would be great to contribute to the wiki, or just to send an email to us with it, and we'll post it for you. But it's something that everybody needs to understand is a necessity if you're putting photos online. Even if it's not the law and you're taking pictures of members in a public place, like at a church picnic, not a bad idea to at least put a disclaimer, you know, on the, you know, the advertisement for the picnic, if not get a consent, if there's, you know, individual shots or groups of people that, may want to have some say whether their photo, and especially if their name is attached, goes online. So just keep that in mind and track down a good consent form. But Travis, thanks for the question. Hopefully you found something there that will be useful. There's all kinds of them if you do a Google search online as well. So
that's going to wrap up our community feedback for this week, Martin. And time to talk about what's coming up next week. Next week we are doing a show, a continuation of this summer series that we started today. And next week we're going to focus on God's Word and how you can include God's Word in your church or school website. So we'll have examples and tips and lots of links to different resources that you can pull in and easily incorporate into your site.
Very good. Looking forward to it. So join us again for episode 293, getting close to 300, Sally, which we'll celebrate together at New Ulm, of all places.
That's in a convention.
Let's close the show with the music of Kirk Meyer, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Thanks to all of you for joining us. Tune in next week.